The acoustics in the front hall of University Village were outstanding. My eyes were closed as I played, listening for off tones and missed notes. I was in perfect flow. My fingers acted before my mind could correct, so my ears made adjustments. The conversations, the clattering food trays, the dim muzak, and the speakers were miles away. There was no reason for me to open my eyes, but I did. And that changed everything. She changed everything. Standing with her friend, red hair covering her face as she rooted around her bag, she looked up just as I saw her, as if my gaze had called out. USC is full of the children of actors, models, and athletes. Calling her beautiful illustrated the inadequacy of language. She was a melody, a perfect symphony, the final crescendo in a masterpiece written by a genius. Taking my eyes off her would be impossible. All the air in the room bent in her direction and emanated from her as if she owned it. And still my fingers did their job, filling the room with music that had been written for her before she was born. She was impossible, eternal, divine. Nothing like her should exist anywhere but Olympus. With a little smile, she dropped a bill in my case and walked out with her friend, getting momentarily lost in the afternoon sun. I stopped playing to watch her go.
You got a day's worth out of her,
Earl said from behind his podium.
Yeah, I said, assuming he was talking about her looks. You gonna get greedy and keep playing?
Huh? He pointed at my case with its dotting of loose change and a single rolled-up bill. I picked up the cash. Benjamin Franklin stared at me with a sly smile. That couldn't be right. Even if it was, I couldn't take it. Not from another student. Not from anyone who wasn't Bill Gates. Looking out the glass doors, I saw her and her friend make their way to the crosswalk and wait for the light.
You okay? Earl asked with a knowing smile. Or did that pretty thing shake you?
I'm shaken, I said, grabbing the pen off his clipboard. I scrawled my number on the bill and handed back the pen. Save my spot.
Will do.
You left this in the...
He held out the hand with the case. $100 bill was folded between two fingers.
The wrong bill.
He put down the case and held out the $100. When I'd given him the money, I didn't notice him. The music shut out everything else. Without it, I could see him. His eyes were warm mahogany, and the waves of his dark, unkempt shoulder-length hair were tinged with the sun. No, I said. It's the right one. His face twitched for a moment, as if he had to hide surprise. Then he smiled. One of his front teeth had a tiny triangle of a chip, and the hairline scar on his square chin got a little lighter. Imperfections, sure, but they only made him look more perfect.
It's too much, he said.
The wind changed direction, blowing his hair into his face. He shifted his head enough to move it to the side, exposing the lines of his tanned neck and the sharp shadows under his jaw. Funny how I didn't notice how handsome he was while he was playing. I've never heard anyone play like that, I said.
Like what?
His hand dropped a few inches. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Andrea look at her watch. There wasn't enough time to describe his music. Like they were about to levitate. He laughed, and it was almost as melodic as what he drew from his violin.
Really?
He held out the money again.
It's my pleasure. $1 would have been enough.
Keep it, I said. Andrea cleared her throat. I shifted my bag on my shoulder and turned away. I have to get to class.
I'm going to throw it away if you don't take it.
Like hell. Andrea snapped it from him. I'll stick it in her bag when she's not looking.
Thank you.
He picked up his violin case. If you busk again, I'm putting another $100, and I'm going to run away so fast you won't catch me.
I'll catch you. Don't you worry about that.
What if I don't want to be chased?